When you plunge a lobster or a crab into a pot of boiling, perfectly salted water, does it feel pain or suffer in some other way? The answer, it turns out, is complicated and obviously contentious. We're joined now by freelance journalist Tamar Stelling, who recently wrote about this question for New Scientist and The Washington Post, and I'm very pleased to welcome her to our show today. Hello.
Hi.
Well, we're going to talk about... Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice of you to have me.
Well, this is a fascinating topic, and I've always been curious about it. But usually when it came to lobsters, but here we're not just talking about lobsters, a wide range of invertebrates like octopi, squid, and insects. We've known for many that many of these animals will react to harmful stimuli, but scientists don't necessarily consider that a sign that these animals are in pain as we understand it.
Yes, that's true. They think of it as a nociceptive reaction. So almost all animals have nociception. This is basically a reflex to any harmful stimuli. And pain is considered to be an interpretation of the brain of this feeling.
Nociceptors, N-O-C-I-C-E-P-T-O-R.
Yeah.
That's different than nerves, right?
Yeah. Nerves are something else.
So when somebody makes as if to punch us in the face and we blink and pull away, is that the result of nociceptors?
Yeah, or for instance, you know, the knee jerk reflex.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you hit your knee at a certain spot, you involuntarily just move it forward, or when you pull back your hands, if you burn it on the stove or whatever, you're doing it before you know you do it.
Now you write
and then
that.
Afterwards you...
Go ahead.
And then afterwards you feel pain.
Now you write that pain is an awkward thing to test. Why is that?
Well, because it cannot be proven. Like, by definition, almost. I'll never know if another human being is in pain. Same goes for animals. Like when we say mammals have pain, this is just an educated guess.
But we could do MRIs, can't we? And see
yeah,
that...
Yeah, but the definition of the International Association for the Study of Pain, in their definition of pain, there's also room for an experience of pain without any potential or actual tissue damage or some... brain part lighting up on the MRI scan.
Now, part of your story is based on research conducted by a scientist named Robert Elwood. How did he become interested in this question?
Well, it seems he ran into this crustacean chef in a local pub, and he walks up to him and says, "We have a mutual interest. I study crustaceans and you cook them." And apparently the first thing this cook wanted to know is, so do they feel pain? Elwood was a bit disappointed in himself that he couldn't really answer this question, and while he was supposed to be this authority on crustaceans. So ever since that meeting, he's been racking his brain trying to think of experiments to, well, not prove it because he could never prove it, but, you know, to be able to say something more about the possibility of them experiencing pain.
He started by looking at prawns. What did he do to them?
Well, he dropped some acids on their eyeballs and looked if their response would be more than just a mere nociceptive reflex. And indeed, it seems they really started rubbing their eyes with their limbs for quite long periods of time.
But then he also applied a local anesthetic, and they had a different response?
Yeah, this seems to lessen the grooming and the rubbing of the prawns. Yeah.
And then he moved on to hermit crabs and started giving them electric shocks. What did he find there? His man sounds a little sadistic, I must say.
During an interview he mentioned, you must think I am a very awkward person spending my days trying to think of horrible things to do to hermit crabs. But he shocked hermit crabs. He found that, indeed, they would just sometimes abandon the shell they lived in. But if it was a better shell, then they would take heavier, larger shocks in order for them to abandon the shell. So apparently, whether or not they would leave the shell didn't just depend on the intensity of the shock, but also on how much they liked the shell, which points to something like a behavior trade-off. Mm. Like there's more involved than just a nociceptive reflex.
I'm talking with Tamar Stelling, who has written about pain in crustaceans and other animals for The New Scientist and The Washington Post. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Crustaceans are often just thrown into a pot of boiling water. Did Elwood or any of the other scientists you spoke with have any opinion on that practice?
Sorry, I just lost you for a moment there.
When people throw a lobster into a pot of boiling water, it's generally assumed they don't feel any pain. Did Elwood do any research into that?
He didn't research lobsters, but he did point it out that, sometimes if a crab is on a hot area close to train tracks or something, when it gets really hot, they just move away. So they do obviously have the drive to just remove themselves from hot areas.
You also spoke.
He hasn't.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. He hasn't really researched that. Not yet.
Well, he should, because that's where I think where most people wind up having an experience and applying pain to one of these animals. You spoke with an evolutionary neurobiologist named Robin Cook, and you write that she's found that octopi show much of the pain-related behavior we see in vertebrates. What kind of behaviors are we talking about with them?
So if there's an injury, they'll rub and groom it and, show protective behavior towards this limb and, hide out a bit and wait. Yeah, shy away from touch there.
But they strike me as fairly intelligent creatures. How much do we know about their nervous systems?
I know their model that is being studied a lot, and they have a very large amount of neurons, larger than, for instance, a frog, which is a vertebrate and considered to be able to feel pain. But,
And then there are squid, which are kind of like octopi. Mm-hmm. Has there been research on them as well?
By Crook? Squid actually we don't know if they experience pain, but if they would experience pain, they probably experience it in a very different way than octopi, because when they're hurt somewhere, it looks like their nociceptive thingies, I don't know their name at the moment, they just fire from all over the body, so the squid doesn't really know exactly where their wound is, they just sort of hurt all over.
You write that invertebrates have become the lab animal of choice for many researchers. Why is that? More than rats or mice?
It's because there's no regulation governing their use. So you can just take them out of the wild or buy them somewhere and do whatever with them. You don't have to fill in forms, ask for approval. You can just start right away. And this is great.
Is that all over the world? Do some lab cephalopods enjoy protection in the EU?
Starting January 2013, cephalopods, so squid and octopi, there's some regulation concerning them now. It's just that, for instance, you now have to anesthetize them if you want to experiment on them. But now there's this discussion that since we know so little about their pain, how they experience pain, how their nociceptive things work, we don't really know how to really anesthetize the cephalopods. So we now have regulation in place, but labs don't really know what to do with it.
Getting back to lobsters, David Foster Wallace wrote an essay called Consider the Lobster. It's 10 years old now. He was thinking about it as a writer, not as a scientist. But do you think that that got some people interested in even looking into this subject?
Well, I asked Crook. I can only say for Crook and Elwood and Smith, and none of them really mentioned this this essay. I've read it, but only after I wrote the article. So I really couldn't say.
Did you think David Foster Wallace made a good case?
Well, I think he made a good case for getting people to consider why they feel so uneasy to consider these questions. Like, he didn't make a good case per se for saying that lobsters feel pain, just for getting others to be a bit more, a bit more unsure. Like, it's really a good thing to do.
Well, it's the same kind of argument that vegetarians make about eating any kind of meat, isn't it?
With the difference that most animals that vegetarians refrain from eating are mammals. So, and there's no discussion about mammals feeling pain or not, and there's already, even though it's probably not enough, there's already some legislation in place. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, these are animals as well. I guess the only things that don't feel pain, as we know it, are insects. And there are people who eat insects in the world. Maybe that's what we're going to be left with if we're concerned about pain. Meanwhile, the research continues. And Tamar Stelling, thank you so much for talking about where it stands right now.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.